without you.
Are you in the market for a new Electrolux appliance? Then check out the Appliance Discounters. Appliance Discounters is the largest locally owned appliance retail in the St. Louis area with 4 locations and over 22,000 square feet of showrooms. Why shop the out-of-town big box stores and send all your hard-earned money and tax dollars out of the state when you can shop Electrolux appliances local at Appliance Discounters? There's a reason why they call us Appliance Discounters. Just think of all the money you'll save.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you how to get just the edge you're looking for as a home buyer. This brand new program is called Mortgage First, and it's exclusively from Quicken Loans. With Mortgage First, we'll underwrite you up front, giving you the upper hand on the competition. To learn more about Mortgage First, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Restrictions apply. Rate terms and conditions may change until final loan approval. This is not an offer to lend. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
Fire your lawn service and do it yourself. Your grass will look better and it will be cheaper thanks to Dynagreen. Dynagreeninfo.com for more information. 5 easy steps. It's better fertilizer, better seed, better hoses, better everything. Dynagreen and all of the accoutrements. You don't mind if I say accoutrements, do you? All of that has the Dynagreen label, which makes your lawn better, and you can do it better than the lawn service. Find it at your local independent lawn and garden dealer, Dynagreen, or DynagreenInfo.com.
I'm in Yosemite National Park to talk Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream with the Miller family. So how many itchy bug bites and rashes do you have?
33 bites.
34.
And a case of poison ivy.
It itches.
Do not scratch.
Miller family, relief starts now. Gold Bond has twice the itch-fighting medicine of hydrocortisone cream.
Ooh.
Plus aloe and vitamin E. It's fast relief on contact.
Feels better already. Who's up for a hike?
Look at the big kitty.
I'm out. Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream. Relief starts now.
Sherry, it's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I would predict that there is more Four Seasons music being played on the radio today than any other day of the year, because today is the day that Jersey Boys is opening in theaters all around the country. And Colin Jeffrey is here to review it with me. This segment of the show is brought to you by Auric. Locally owned and operated all over the St. Louis area, go into an Auric store and ask them about the new Magnesium RS vacuum cleaner, one of the many great vacuums in the Auric line. All right, so Jersey Boys was a Broadway musical, won a slew of Tony Awards when it first came out, and now is turned into a movie directed by Clint Eastwood. And people go, Clint Eastwood? Jersey Boys? Well, he's done musical stuff before. He actually did some musicals himself as an actor. He was in Paint Your Wagon and something else, where he actually sang. And made a movie about Charlie Parker, the great jazz saxophonist. Mm-hmm. And I think he also sang in Honky Tonk Man and a bunch of others. But now he's directing Jersey Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the show? The musical?
I had not seen the show. So okay. I was coming in from an interesting angle here, having never seen it, but only hearing great things about it.
What did you think about the movie?
I was not at all impressed with the movie at all. It was... Not knowing what to expect going in, I was thinking, oh, it might be sort of a biopic type thing, because when you see the previews, there's all like these asides you see. Well, if we'd stop there, oh, you know, there's all the asides that are great in the movie to sort of move forward the story. But it made me think one thing going into it. It was not that. I mean, if you compare it to like Walk the Line or Ray, good biopics recently. It's not at all. It's not trying to do that. It's a shot-for-shot remake of the musical on screen, is what I understand.
Actually, it's not. They've taken a couple of things out that I think should have been in there, and they moved some things around. But I'll tell you what I think after you finish. Go ahead.
And so I think what that does is making it more of a musical. You might be impressed to see people do this on stage. There's an energy when you go to a theater about that. People are all really into the music.
Yeah.
And it took too long to get to that music, and then
an hour before you hear Sherry,
an hour into it. Yeah,
the movie's only 2 hours,
so all the hits are packed in to essentially an hour.
Yeah,
and the problem is there's no real conflict in the movie. These guys aren't poor. They're not rich. They're just kind of lower middle income guys from Jersey. And they want to be famous. And they become famous.
And they have one guy with an amazing voice. Uh-huh. And one guy who's a really good songwriter and producer. The one thing that I liked about this, when I saw the show, I thought this, and maybe the movie will do this as well, is that more people are now going to know the name Bob Gaudio.
Yes.
Who was the member of the Four Seasons, who was the real genius of the group, because he wrote all of those hits. He mm-hmm. wrote those songs and then produced some stuff for Frankie Valli after the Four Seasons broke up and Frankie Valli went on his own. Bob Gaudio wrote and produced those songs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Genius.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. And when you see just, you hear some of the hits. I'd say they hit maybe 5 to 8 of like their biggest hits.
Right. Walk Like a Man.
Oh, yeah. Here's an important thing to remember.
Yeah.
These guys were contemporaries of the Beatles. Essentially, over the same time span of the Beatles, these guys create, they had more than 24 top 40 hits. They were second only to the Beatles at the time, but we don't think about them. You never got from this movie that they were that gigantic, that they were, I mean, the second largest thing going in America at the time.
You see them playing in supper clubs.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we played in a club, and then there's one scene in a giant theater, and then it's like, and problems started.
Right.
So, again, this has been out for a while as a musical, so I don't think I'm going to ruin anything. But at one point, his daughter passes away. It's supposed to be a real moving scene.
Yes.
I felt nothing. She'd been on the screen for a minute up until then.
Yep.
And it's like his daughter died. And I'm like, I know I should be feeling something here. I don't feel anything for the characters. And that was my problem.
Let me go back before that.
Yeah.
I know I said I would let you finish, but
that's
I can't
right.
because I have things I want to talk about for each of these points.
That's fine.
Before she dies, spoiler alert, by the way, I don't think we have to say spoiler alert when a musical's been out for 10 years, but he gets divorced from her mom, mm-hmm. and he is in the house, and she's lying in bed, and she's, I don't know if she's not feeling well, or he tells her about the divorce, or whatever it is, and then he sings his song, My Eyes Adored You, to his daughter. If you were to look at the lyrics of that song, it's not a daddy-daughter song. It's an I was obsessed with you love song.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes off a little stalkerish and weird to have him singing the song to his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't that seem a little odd to you?
I was listening to the lyrics and I'm like, wait, this is, you're very much taken aback by that. So it just really falls flat. And when you're watching recorded, it's like watching an episode of Glee. That's the closest you don't feel any emotional connection to the songs they're singing. Now, I will say my viewing pleasure was enhanced of all the songs because a woman sitting 2 down from me sang along with every song. So I had her lovely voice accompanying Frankie Valli to every song. And in a musical theater, that's great. I'm sure that's what they want, is people to be caught up in it. But in a movie theater, you sort of agree, I will sit here silently, you will sit here silently.
Part of the rule,
We might laugh, we might cry, but that's about it. Yeah. I'm not going to sing along.
I don't recall anybody singing along with I Walk the Line.
Exactly. And my other problem, so we talked about, it's not a great biopic. And if you go to the musical side, let's talk about like other heavy-hitting musicals recently. Near recently, Chicago, Moulin Rouge. These things were nominated for awards because they were visual spectacles and clearly a musical. This had too much exposition at the front end and just didn't feel like a musical at all.
You're absolutely right. The exposition on the front end is essentially these guys, these Jersey boys, as teenagers in Jersey and getting involved in trouble and being connected to the mafia. The only person you're going to recognize when you go to this movie is Christopher Walken, who plays a mafia boss kind of guy.
He's the great. He's
always great.
I love him in this movie. Again, I don't think you can hate him, but he's like the bright spot. You're like, he's so great in this role.
But his part is way too inflated for a movie that's about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Exactly.
We don't need all that mafia stuff. We don't need to see all the criminal background stuff of the one guy in the group who's the real thug, who kind of starts the band and puts it together and all that sort of stuff. We don't need an hour of that. And I think Clint Eastwood absolutely has to be held to blame for the pacing of the movie and what you said, the flatness of the movie. Because you're right. I saw the show at the Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And at the Fox, there is a gigantic energy every time those guys started singing that song or any of the Four Seasons songs. People in the audience were into it and the place came alive. In the movie, it wasn't much of anything.
No. It really wasn't.
And I blame Clint Eastwood for the way he shot the movie.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to nitpick sort of the songs, excuse me, I think they only sing one song all the way through. If you go back and watch it, I think they sing one song all the way through a complete performance. And so you're getting 15, 30 seconds, maybe 40 seconds of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually pulled something to sort of show how the conflict doesn't really ever play out. I pulled what is supposed to be, in my opinion, the highest your emotions are in the entire
scene. The big dramatic moment?
The big dramatic thing. And I'm going to have you listen to this and just tell me what you feel there.
I want Bobby to handle cash from now on.
What?
I want Bobby to handle cash.
All right, let me explain something. When I leave this group, or they carry me out, Bob can handle whatever you want Bob to handle. While I'm in this group, he's not going to handle a dime. You understand?
Maybe we should put it to a vote.
What? What was that?
Maybe we should put it to a vote.
A vote? All right. I see. I see. Now we got a democracy. All right. Let's put it to a vote. Should Bob handle the money, yay or nay? Huh? Huh?
Hey!
Well, that's my vote.
There you go.
Okay, we're back to grade C mafia movie theater.
Exactly. That's supposed to be, that is the, they actually go back from that point and say, it wasn't always this bad. It wasn't what bad? I mean, it sounded like an argument. Like, it wasn't always this bad.
Yeah.
So I
do have to say something about the people in the movie whose names you've never heard of unless you know these guys from the show. I ran into Lynn Venhouse from the Belleville News Democrat at the screening the other night. And she's the one who told me that the guy who plays Frankie Valli in the movie, John Lloyd Young, was in the original Broadway cast and won a Tony for playing Frankie Valli in that role and has gone on to play it in other places. And there are other productions of Jersey Boys that are playing. There's one, a permanent one in Las Vegas. There's a permanent one in London. I don't know if it's still playing in New York, but there, you know, it's gone out on the road with bus and truck versions, etc. And the guy who plays Frankie Valli, this John Lloyd Young, he's very good in the role. I can't imagine that he's going to have many other roles in his movie career, but you know what? Yul Brynner was the king in The King and I for 30 years. This guy can go do Jersey Boys as Frankie Valli as long as his voice holds out and he can hit those high notes, he can do that. He's very, very good at that.
Oh, yeah.
And they all sing well, and it works, but there's too much mafia in there. By the way, speaking of the shows, you know, there are many Broadway musicals that have been long-running shows that were not turned into movies.
Mm-hmm.
There have certainly been plenty that have. You mentioned a couple, Chicago and Moulin Rouge. But, you know, there's never a movie version of Cats.
Yeah. You need to be there.
Because people had to go see it. I doubt that they'll ever turn Wicked into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they don't, because that's the sort of thing that people continue to go see. It comes back to the Fox every 18 months, and it fills up for the whole 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and it will continue to do that. I wonder if the people who go see Jersey Boys the movie will then ever go and see the thing in person.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll kill it. That's a good point. I hope it doesn't, because I predict this is going to be a weird movie. This movie, I don't think is going to have much staying power. Huh. I think the soundtrack is going to just, you're not going to be able to find it for a while. It's going to be so popular.
Four season songs are going to be big downloads on iTunes mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And
So it's going to be weird. I hope it generates, because I want to see the musical now, because everyone said it was so great. And I saw this and I'm like,
I didn't think it was great. I thought it was good. I think the movie is not that good.
Mm-hmm.
There are parts of it that are. Who do you think the demographic is that this will appeal to? No teenagers will want to see this movie.
No. My mom would love it.
Yeah.
All my in-laws.
People who were alive when the Four Seasons were mm-hmm. popular, which is weird because a lot of people went to see a Ray Charles movie who had not heard a Ray Charles song. A lot of people went to see the Johnny Cash movie who were not alive when Johnny Cash was making his hits. I don't think you're going to get people under 30 mm-hmm. to go see Jersey Boys in a movie theater.
And so I'm curious what it's going to do in a couple weeks to Get On Up, the James Brown story. That's a biopic.
What?
James Brown, a couple weeks, it comes out, Get On Up. They're doing a James Brown biopic.
Huh.
It's got the guy who played Jackie Robinson in 42.
Chadwick Boseman.
Yes, there you go. So that's coming out in just it's early July.
I was one last note for me on this. Mm-hmm. Co-writer of Jersey Boys, Marshall Brickman, also the co-writer of Annie Hall and Manhattan. A man who in his career now could say, I worked with Woody Allen and Clint Eastwood.
Wow. Nice resume.
Major movies.
I give this a 4 out of 10, though.
I give it a 5.
There you go. Pretty close.
Speaking of movies that you predicted would not do well, it was on this show, I guess, about 3 weeks ago that you reviewed Edge of Tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
the Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt, We Have to Fight the Aliens and Time Looping and all that sort of stuff. And you said that it would not do as well as The Fault in Our Stars, which was coming out that weekend with Shailene Woodley. And I thought you were crazy because it's summertime and a big special effects movie would do really, really well. And you were right. In that first weekend, The Weeper, the Cancer Kids movie, did really well. Did you find that website?
Yeah. Edges Tomorrow has done $64 million.
In 3 weeks. That's not even 1 weekend for an Avengers movie.
Fault in Our Stars, I think, did almost domestic. $70 million.
That's just domestic.
I mean, it's not even close.
So why? Why aren't people going to see?
I've talked to lots of people about this. I've yet to find one person sort of in the wild, just in my day-to-day life, that's seen this movie. And they all say the same thing. Tom Cruise is crazy. They all say the same thing. Tom Cruise is just crazy. And it's for a different, you know, the Oprah, Scientology, whatever. Divorce yourself from that. You're depriving yourself of a fun movie, a good movie, I think. Mm-hmm. Go see this movie. Now, on the other end, I'm not going to be crushed if it doesn't do great because I saw it. I really liked it. There's not a sequel. The Edge of the Day After Tomorrow. I can't figure out what it would be. So there's no sequel here. We're not saying there's not going to be another one.
Is it possible, and here's what I'm hoping for, that it's not Tom Cruise, but that people are just sick of another movie about fighting alien robots?
I don't know because I don't think so. I think there's still a market for that. But
the Transformers people better hope not, because that opens next week.
I will have that for you next week.
Okay.
I don't think I could drag you to that with a team of horses, Paul.
All right. The other movie that's opening this weekend is The Rover, which is not about a dog. If it were, people would go see it. The way it is, nobody's going to go see it, and I'm sorry I did. This is a movie that stars Guy Pearce, who was in L.A. Confidential. I thought he was going to be his breakout star, but
yeah.
Russell Crowe and Kevin Spacey were the breakout stars from that movie. And if you haven't seen L.A. Confidential, put that one on your Netflix queue. That's a pretty good cop movie, don't you think?
Sure.
Didn't Kim Basinger win an Academy Award for that?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Supporting actress that year. He was in Memento, early Christopher Nolan movie.
Wonderful.
It's great.
Movie. In fact, I wish I'd watched Memento again instead of this one.
Wow.
Here's what The Rover is. It takes place, the title comes up at the beginning, 10 years after the collapse.
Ugh.
Now, we don't know what the collapse is. And this is not a sequel. There wasn't a movie called The Collapse 10 years ago, and now it's The Rover. But it's something apocalyptic. It's one of those gray, apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic movies. And it takes place in the outback of Australia. And all we see is this guy, heavily bearded and dirty, Guy Pearce. He drives his car, he parks his car, he gets out, he walks into a post-apocalyptic bar where there isn't much of anything, but he's having a drink. And another vehicle comes down the road, a pickup truck, and they hit something in the road, and the car rolls a couple of times and skids down the street and ends in a ditch, and the three guys in it are bloodied, although bloodied from something before the accident. They get out of their vehicle. They see Guy Pearce's car across the street. They walk across the street. They steal the car. He comes out of the bar, sees them driving his car away, goes over to their truck, manages to get it out of the ditch by himself, and takes off to follow them. Now, we have a pretty good idea that the three guys he's chasing are bad guys.
Yeah. He stole his Rover.
We don't know who he is, but he's after the car. The entire movie is him chasing after these guys who, for a while, disappear from the scene, and he encounters other people, but he goes places. Did you see three guys in a car, mate? No, we haven't seen anybody come in here. You didn't see three guys in a car? No, we haven't. Then he goes off to the next place, and the next place, and the next place. Other people die along the way as part of his adventures. And then eventually he finds the guys who stole his car. And the entire movie, I'm thinking, boy, this guy loves that car, or there's something in the trunk that's really important to him. I am not going to give away the ending to the movie, but it is the most anticlimactic thing that he finds in the trunk at the end. And I actually said to myself, Really? That's what this was all about?
It's not a good sign at the end of a movie. Really?
Again, I'm not going to spoil it, because if you do end up seeing this thing on cable by accident someday, and you find your way to the end, I think you'll say the same thing. That's what this was on? That's why he chased this car for 2 weeks?
Was it a picture of the car?
Yeah. Really meta moment there. I had to have a picture of me car. What kind of accent was that?
Me car.
That wasn't an Australian accent.
My car! My car!
You're talking about our morning guy.
You know what? That's why you ruined the surprise. That was what was in the trunk of the car. A picture of McGraw. Don't go see Guy Pearce in The Rover. But do put Memento.
Yes.
On your Netflix queue. If you've never seen that, that's a fascinating movie. If you like Christopher Nolan from the movies he did, the Batman movies he made, or didn't he do Inception?
Yeah.
Memento is a story told backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You meet this guy, and the rest of the movie is he has a complete lack of short-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
Every day he wakes up, he cannot remember anything that happened in previous days.
Oh, it's shorter than that.
And he can't remember things that happened an hour ago. He'll meet somebody, that person goes out of the room, comes back in, he has no idea who that person is. And so he has to solve that problem and figure out all the stuff that's going on, and you see the story told from the end of the movie to the beginning of the movie in a fascinating, fascinating way. That is
very
a great
good.
Movie.
Oh, yeah.
Memento. I would strongly recommend that.
Check that out.
I give The Rover a 2.
2
out of 10.
There you go. You got to save that 1 for the really wretchedly bad movies.
What was the movie I gave a 1 to a couple weeks ago?
Million Ways to Die.
Oh, there you go.
Still the worst movie of the summer. A few other things. DVD next week. There's one coming out that I just feel I have to comment on. 300 Rise of an Empire is coming out on DVD.
Yes.
Skip it.
You've seen it?
I've seen it. I watched it last night.
Really?
I watched it last night on DVD. Skip it.
Okay. Is that the first 300 movie?
No. If you remember the first one, it's about King Leonidas and the Spartans holding off 300 people. There are 300 Spartans holding off 1 million Persians. This is sort of the prequel sequel. If that makes sense.
Whatever.
It overlaps the time. If you liked 300, you will hate this. If you did not like 300, you will hate this.
What if you never saw 300? Don't see this.
Don't see this. Okay. There's no reason to see that. I mean, if your, you know, teenage son is like, hey, I want to rent this for the sleepover. No.
Did this make money at the box office?
Not much.
Yeah.
Made 40 or 60 million. I think it killed the 300 series.
And that's without Tom Cruise.
Without Tom Cruise, exactly. Tom Cruise kiss of death. Some other news. Star Wars, you may have heard earlier this week, Harrison Ford, they thought he injured his ankle. Turns out he broke his leg 6 to 8 weeks before he's back on set for Episode 7. So
okay. We're
delayed. Episode 8, believe it or not, they're already working on. The guy who directed Looper, did you see that? Bruce
yes.
Willis.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Overrated.
Ryan Johnson, he is writing and directing Episode 8.
Okay.
Better Call Saul. Were you a Breaking Bad fan?
Yes.
Better Call Saul.
Coming out in November of this year.
Has not even aired yet. Renewed for Season 2. I'm not even kidding. They picked up a second season.
Well, they must like what's been shot already.
Yes. Aaron Paul is apparently lobbying very hard to get a role in it.
Saul Goodman is the character that was played by Bob Odenkirk. In Breaking Bad.
Also in Fargo.
Was also in Fargo. And I was going to ask you, Ian, since I haven't seen you since the Tuesday night finale aired, and spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't watched it yet, we won't give anything away, but were you satisfied with the finale?
Yes. Yes, and I mean, I thought it was a little anticlimactic, but you had to find a way to end the run, so...
Mm-hmm.
I really like the characters. I really like the Colin Hanks characters. Really good.
Gus.
There's a rumor, though, that they're
doing a second season.
Yeah,
but
it won't be any of these characters.
Right, yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe some will.
Well, what I heard was that this was 10 episodes as a miniseries, and that if they do another season, which they haven't decided yet, it's going to be
the same style,
but it won't be the same people. And obviously, you can't have the same crimes.
Right.
I didn't say anything.
I'm 6 episodes behind. I'm so far behind.
We have not given anything away.
Almost like what
obviously, you can't have the same crimes that took place in this place.
Right. Almost, I guess, what True Detective is doing. It's just totally different cast.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I liked Colin Hanks' character was great. The grandfather, I don't know his name, but Keith Carradine was really good.
That's Keith Carradine.
Really?
Yeah. The guy, Lou, who owned the diner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good at that. And, of course, she was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the woman who played Deputy Salverson, Allison Tolman is her name. And,
of course, Billy Bob was
Billy Bob
spot on.
Was great at yes. Lester Malvo.
And at Lester, too. I mean, the whole cast was really good.
So. Oh, he wasn't Lester Malvo. He was Lorne Malvo.
Lester Nygaard.
Lester Nygaard was the one played by Martin Freeman.
Oh.
Yeah. It was really, really well, very well made.
Yes.
And stylistically kind of had the same cleverness as Breaking Bad. In terms
right.
of telling the story and the cinematography and the music and the suspense, there were moments in those 10 weeks where you actually were like, that's not really going to happen now, is it? Is that going to happen? Is that going to happen? Oh, no!
Yeah, I think it was episode 3 or 4. There were a couple really slow episodes where it kind of, but then it picked right back. When they pick it up, they definitely pick up the pace.
Yeah,
yes.
I will say this, and Colin has them on his DVR, so he hasn't watched them yet. I don't know when the DVDs of this are going to come out. I would assume it'll be before next season sometime, maybe in the winter, which would be appropriate for this move, for this TV show. If you did not see it on FX, that's another one to put on your DVD roster for later on, because Fargo was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
All right. I'm looking forward to getting back into it.
So,
two other stories real quick. What have you been watching on TV? We want everyone to say this. Highest rated thing all of last week, World Cup. U.S., the U.S. versus Ghana,
mm-hmm.
9.7 million viewers. Nothing even close. And it's winning every day, mm-hmm. the World Cup. So I think soccer may have arrived. We'll see.
Soccer has not arrived.
We'll see.
Wait, let's just break this down for just a second here. And Tim, I'm sorry I'm making you wait in the traffic center. Hold on a second. Or in the plane. I want to talk about this notion of soccer coming to America. We hear this every 4 years when the World Cup comes out, and you know, they get good ratings for it. This year, bigger ratings because the U.S. actually won a game. Miracle of miracles. This game is never going to be popular in the United States other than at the level of people playing it. Kids playing it is incredibly popular. Youth mm-hmm. soccer is tremendously popular in every neighborhood in America. Absolutely. And that will continue to be. But it's not going to be anywhere near the Big Four. It's not even going to be as big as, arguably, the NHL.
I agree, because Paul's right. Every time, it's like there's a big surge of soccer, and everybody's into soccer. Everybody is into soccer, but we can't support the pro team. That comes
I mean,
in.
It's very similar to the Olympics. Everybody yeah. will sit down and watch.
Correct.
You'll watch downhill skiing, but when they,
who watches figure skating in October?
Every 4 years, you'll watch that, but then, like when they show the like world championship downhill skiing on a random weekend, and
yeah.
Who watches that? Nobody's gonna. Yeah,
it's a great analogy. It's just like the Olympics. But here's the other problem: soccer, lots of fun for kids to play.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any professional soccer teams that really draw well outside of maybe the one that David Beckham was on?
Well, LA Galaxy. Well, the Seattle Sounders, the Columbus Crew. They both
Kansas City has a team.
No, I mean, how many do they draw? 8,000.
They fill out their stadiums of like 20,000. So I mean, they're looking at building new stadiums.
Okay.
So
why don't they have a TV contract? Why doesn't professional soccer have a TV contract?
I believe it does with NBC now. I think this year they picked it up. They're making money. They're starting to make some money.
Here's one of the problems you have with soccer: 1-0, an insurmountable lead. You know, I was talking about
yes.
this with a friend of mine the other day, and he said, well, wait a second. What about a pitcher's duel in baseball? I said, if every baseball game were a pitcher's duel, no one would go see baseball.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Americans want to see scoring. And he said, okay, so we'll make every point worth 7, like a touchdown in football.
Yeah.
Oh, the final score of that soccer game was 21-7.
Right.
You can put a 3-point line out there. If they get a goal from that, it's worth triple.
You remember when indoor soccer, when the Steamers first hit St. Louis,
yeah.
and that was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved indoor soccer and loved that.
Yep.
And there was a lot of scoring in that.
Yep.
So people like it. But all of a sudden that faded too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my dad and brother-in-law, they were both really good soccer players. And of course they watch all the Premier League on the weekends and things like that.
Yeah.
But they know all the nuances. They know, oh, that was a good, through pass. You know, I mean, whereas just a general fan.
Yeah.
would just kind of be sitting there going, all right, come on, something happened.
The World Series of Poker gets better ratings than soccer and hockey combined.
Wow. Poker. Well, that's the American dream. Sit on your butt and make tons of money.
Yeah.
Well, that's the American dream right there.
You're right about that. One last thing I want to say about soccer. You will not see a highly successful sport in America where Americans watch the game and don't know when it's the end of the game. Soccer has this thing called extra time.
Plus five.
Oh, yeah, you don't know.
They tell you the game lasts for 90 minutes, and you see the clock go 89 minutes and 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 90 minutes. And they keep playing. And you turn to your buddy who knows soccer. How much longer are they going to play for?
I don't know.
You see that plus five next to that? That means about 5 minutes. About 5 minutes? Do the players know how long it's going to take? No. They don't know. Can you imagine in the NFL, if you kick a game-winning field goal with 1 second to go, and the referee comes out and goes, we got about 4 more minutes to play. We're not done yet.
About.
I understand that in a baseball game, you don't know exactly how, it's not a timed game, but you know at the end of the ninth inning, yeah, if the Cardinals are up 3-2, when you get that third out, the game's over. Nobody goes and says, we decided they're going to get 7 more outs.
There's about 2 outs left.
No sport can be popular where Americans go, I don't understand the rules. All right. Colin Jeffrey, brought to you by Auric, all over the St. Louis area. Go into one of the Auric stores and ask about the new Magnesium RS vacuum cleaner. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. Meep,
meep. Here's a guy that knows the rules of the roadways. It's Tim Weiland, and he's going to give you traffic.
Okay, I want to ask Paul or Colin still in there. Are they going to make, is there going to be another season of Fargo? Or was that it?
Rumored, I think.
We were just saying, we think there's going to be a second one, but it won't be the same characters or crimes.
There's another show coming out. It really stinks. It's called Fartgo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you guys like the ending?
Hang
of
on a second. I gotta get the car back on the road here. Right, we're in the ditch for a second here, Tim.
Did you guys like the ending of Fargo?
Yeah, that's what we were just discussing.
Well, I
were you listening?
No, he was an extra time. He didn't know
that. Really, that was.
You know what? Here's the funny thing about this. Tim is scheduled to do this traffic report at 4:30, and I just gave him. He doesn't know how much extra time I'm going to put into the show.
Hey,
I added Paul. Plus 15, and he didn't have any idea.
Hey, Paul, you've given me extra time, what Frank usually gives me, so he got to me earlier.
Well, yeah, true. Frank's taking time away. I'm sorry, there's only
minus
instead
time.
Of 90 minutes, there's 45 minutes in this game.
All right, well, since this will be my only one here, hey, this report is brought to you by Mrs. Freshly. Stuck in traffic? Make the wait a tasty one. Pull over for Mrs. Freshly's award-winning jumbo honey buns, chocolate cupcakes, and mini donuts. Mrs. Freshly's life, make it sweeter. Well, we've got accidents. We've got one at Manchester and Mason, another one westbound 70 at Lindbergh, another crash eastbound 30 at Highway 270. Traffic was backed up to Maurer Road. Traffic on eastbound 40 is really jamming up now from Chesterfield Parkway east up through Mason. You're slow again in pockets from Clayton Warson in through Big Bend. Baseball traffic southbound 170. You're slowing now from Olive down through Highway 40. Eastbound 44 is heavy now from looks like Jefferson to Highway 55. Northbound 55 from 44 to the Poplar. And westbound 44, you are really running slow. They've cleared that earlier accident near Antire, but running really slow now from just west of the Merrimack River Bridge to west of Highway 141. And this report's also brought to you by AutoTrader.com. You never have to start your search over with AutoTrader. You can save it and pick it back up on any device. Find your perfect car wherever and whenever you want. Visit AutoTrader.com today. From the St. Louis Closet Company Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, I'm Martin Kilcoyne. When you get up before the sun, you should be rewarded. First Light with Dirk Van will be our gift to you. Starts Monday at 4 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Have you been thinking about creating your dream kitchen, bath, or addition? Call Home Solutions today and have their design team guide you towards an affordable solution to give you what you have been dreaming about for years. Take advantage of free granite or onyx while supplies last with new cabinetry for your kitchen or bath remodel. They feature a large selection of the most popular colors and styles of granite countertops while supplies last. Your new kitchen or bath will be designed to the last detail using their state-of-the-art 3D imagery so you can see everything before you order anything. Home Solutions design team is very professional, and they offer free designs and free estimates. Being fully accredited with the Better Business Bureau means you can trust your project with Home Solutions. Call Home Solutions today for your free design and estimate at 314-821-4949 or click homesolutionsstl.com or visit their design center on Manchester Road in De Pere, just 1/2 mile east of 270. Call today and ask how you can get free countertops for your kitchen or bath. 314-821-4949.
Holland is hiring in your area. Local and regional drivers are wanted. Go to www.hollandregional.com/careers to see the opportunities and apply. Holland's local drivers are paid hourly and receive overtime after 8 hours per day. And they're also home daily. Regional drivers are paid by the mile, working only 5 to 6 days per week, and are provided company-paid hotels while on the road. Full-time driver benefits include company-paid health insurance. Drivers must be at least 21 years of age, have a CDLA with 1 year or 50,000 miles experience, and have a tanker and hazmat endorsement. Come find your new direction at Holland. Your direction awaits at www.hollandregional.com/careers.
Holland is an equal opportunity, affirmative action employer, minorities, females, persons with disabilities, protected veterans.
Okay, George, grab an ad.
Having trouble moving the refrigerator to your basement?
Yeah.
If you need to move stuff around your home or to your new house.
Ow, my back, I gotta put this down.
Call Simple Moves.
Simple Moves?
They're a locally owned and operated full-service moving company that has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They'll move stuff around your house or from one place to another at the lowest rates in the St. Louis area.
Oh, we should have called Simple Moves.
Call 314-963-3416 or go to simplemoves.com. Simple Moves, making your moves simple.
My name is Don, and a lot of stuff happens to me. My wife even calls me Disaster Don once in a while, but that's not fair. I'm just a little unlucky. I mean, who hasn't been to the hospital for a giraffe bite? And engines fall out of cars all the time, right? But since that stuff happened, I needed a lot of cash at once. So I called Cash Call at 855-590-CASH.
At Cash Call, we can lend you a big chunk of money so you can handle all your unexpected expenses at one time. You can borrow $2,600 to $25,000 by tomorrow with no collateral and make monthly payments or pay it back all at once.
Yeah, Cash Call lent me enough money for everything. And uh-oh, is that lightning? Again?
If you need a lot of cash all at once, make the cash call at 855-590-CASH. Because dealing with the unexpected doesn't make you a disaster. It makes you just like everyone else.
Subject to credit approval. Additional documentation required. Loans will be made pursuant to Missouri Consumer Credit Loan License 367-03-3042.
This Saturday and Sunday, get a Sealy Posturepedic Queen Set for just $398 and 0% APR for 5 years. Saturday and Sunday only at Mattress Firm.
If an accident puts you in the hospital, your paychecks may stop coming, but all your monthly bills, who's going to put them on hold? If you're not working and not getting paid, you could end up owing thousands of dollars. Accidents do happen all the time. That's why Physicians Mutual Insurance Company offers accident coverage to help you get the cash you need if an accident puts you in the hospital. See how easy it is to get help paying the bills with a free instant quote, 1-800-600-3960. Nobody thinks they're going to end up in the hospital because of a serious accident, but people do every day with no way to pay their bills. You don't want that to happen to you and your family, do you? Of course not. So take a minute and see just how inexpensive this accident coverage is. Seriously, you might be surprised at how little it can cost. Call now for your free instant quote, 1-800-600-3960. That's 1-800-600-3960.
At Exxon and Mobil stations, their quality gasolines are the energy behind your journey, helping you get better fuel economy. Learn more at Exxon.com or Mobil.com.
Join the barbecue revolution every Sunday between 4 and 5 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS, broadcasting live from St. Louis Home Fires, talking tips, techniques, and all things barbecue.
Looking
try a new local restaurant?
Search Kuna Foods' new dining website, bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com. Like them on Facebook. That's bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com.
Hi, Terry Hall here. When you're selling a home, there's a lot of information that goes into the pricing of that home. You need to know what's on the market, what sold, what didn't sell, how long did it take to sell, what kind of condition they were in. You need a CMA. You want to know the value of a home? There's no obligation. You just call me, your real estate expert. 314-220-0524. That's 314-220-0524. You'll be glad you did. You'll get great information.
From downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Rundquist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456, or download their STL Taxi app. It's free for Android or your iPhone. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hey, Billy.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, everybody. Good Friday afternoon. How are you?
Just fine. Hey, before you get going on anything else, I wanted to ask you about the announcement yesterday that Jay Leno is going to be the 17th person to be awarded the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. Do you think Jay Leno deserves it?
Yeah, I'd give it to Jay Leno. Sure, why not? I was never a huge fan of Jay Leno, but he's paid his dues. He's been in the business a long time. Sure, why not?
22 years on the air, third longest running late night talk show host in TV history, and still out there. He must do 100 to 150 nights a year.
He certainly works harder than any other comedian. I would have to give him that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think.
You don't think he deserves?
No, I think he does. I was a big fan of Jay Leno's right up until the point where he took over the Tonight Show, when he was a working comedian and nothing but. He was one of the all-time greats, and he deserves praise for that. And I never thought that his Tonight Show was the worst thing on TV, because I saw the Magic Johnson and Chevy Chase shows. But I also didn't...
You saw one of my shows I did, too, actually.
I was on one of your shows.
That's probably, yeah, maybe that was the problem for both of us, right?
But I don't have any problem awarding Jay Leno. He certainly made his contribution and probably did more monologue jokes than anybody besides Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And you.
And me, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I have to share. We got a minute extra here. I think I have to share a funny story. At least I thought it was funny. Yesterday, I had to go to a funeral yesterday. If you were listening yesterday, you knew that I was stuck in that crazy traffic. And a friend of mine, a guy I used to work with, his mom had passed away. So I went to the funeral home and paid my respects. And as I'm leaving, I'm walking out to the parking lot, and this car pulls up. And so I'm waiting for the car to pass so that I can go out to the parking lot now and go to my car. And the car kind of slows down. It stops right in front of me, and the window rolls down, and I hear this voice, and the voice yells out, "Rick, is that you?" Rick, of course, is my dad. So I lean in the window a little bit, and I have no idea who this woman is, and I said, "No, I'm not Rick. Rick is my dad." And she's like, "Oh my gosh!" She goes, "You guys look so much alike." And I said, "Yeah, unfortunately for both of us, I get that quite a bit." She says, "Hang on a second, let me park my car, let me come up." So this lady parks her car, she comes up, and she goes, "It's so nice to meet you." She goes, I'm your dad's cousin." I'm like, "No kidding." So we start talking, and she's telling me all this stuff. And I said, "Well, now, how are you, how do you know the woman who's passed away?" Well, she says, "Well, that is my cousin." So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, now wait a minute. Am I related to this guy that I worked with for all these years? And I'm going through. So finally, I asked. Well, when I said, "Now wait a minute," I said, "So my dad's mom," and then she fills in. She says some other name, and I said, "No. My dad's mom is Stila." She's like, "No. The woman had the wrong guy."
Really? You look like a different Rick.
You look just like him.
This went on and on and on. And finally I said, "My last name is Cleveland." She's like, "Oh, my gosh, I am so sorry." What are the odds that I would look like someone that she knew also named Rick? It was just so bizarre.
Rick Cleveland.
So bizarre. And I'm like, "Oh, lady, it's like 90 degrees out here. You're killing me." Always me. It always happens to me.
Yeah.
We'll get a couple ones in here. U.S. Airways recently apologized for a lewd tweet they sent out somehow the other day. To make sure the tweet disappeared forever, U.S. Airways put it in with the luggage.
That'll do it.
Never see it again. During an appearance in Washington, D.C. this week, yesterday, I believe, members of Congress questioned Dr. Oz's credibility.
That was on Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, kind of embarrassing. That's kind of like having Lindsay Lohan and Dennis Rodman question your stability.
Mm.
Hey, our new study says Florida is the most stressed out state. Florida, most stressed out state. I can see that. And, you know, always having to try to remember if your blinker is on. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Plus, getting there before the early bird special runs out.
Yeah. And finally, the sexton. Astronomers believe they've detected life on Mars. Hmm? No, I'm sorry. That was just Hillary Clinton appearing to promote her book.
Oh,
she's everywhere.
She's everywhere.
Wow.
The Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company. And from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you, Bill.
See you guys.
And by the way, congratulations on getting through an entire Hillary Clinton joke without saying pantsuit. have a good weekend.
You too.
Bill Cleveland brought to you by, brought to you by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Let's get a quick check on traffic now. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, this accident on westbound 70 is actually near St. Charles Rock Road, and they had the left lane blocked, possibly two left lanes, but boy, you've got a long backup behind that. And then looking at southbound 170, you're still slowing now south of Olive down through Highway 40. Downtown, you're really jamming up. Coming in from Illinois, I should say, you are really slow approaching the 70 split, and then you're slow all the way from that up to the Poplar Street Bridge. Eastbound 40 is slowing Jefferson to the Poplar, and eastbound 44, you're heavy Jefferson through Highway 55, and it looks like southbound 270 now, we have stop-and-go traffic pretty solid from Highway 40 down through Doherty Ferry. And this report is brought to you by Mrs. Freshley's. Let's see here. I just lost my spot here. Mrs. Freshley's. If you're stuck in traffic, make the wait a tasty one. Pull over for Mrs. Freshley's award-winning jumbo honey buns, chocolate cupcakes, and mini donuts. Mrs. Freshley's, make life sweeter. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland of the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm Larry Connors. You know, for almost 40 years, I've been in St. Louis building credibility and trust. Of course, no one just gives you trust. You have to earn it every day. That's what John Beal's family has done for 65 years. A roofing company doesn't stay around long unless it does the customers right. So I'm proud to represent the John Beal family, and when you need help with your roof, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
ABC News. I'm Chuck Severson. Shocking new details on what some government officials call a humanitarian crisis. Hundreds of